Hello and welcome to episode 52 of the Frederick Good Home podcast that you are listening to. My name is Michael Hing, and the fish you are listening to in your other ear is co-host of the show, Ben Jenkins. Hello, how are you?
I am fast running out of noises to make over your introduction. I think I really peaked with gargling, and I was surprised we made it to like 52 episodes before I gargled or whatever it was, 49 maybe. Mm. And that was just that horrible noise you can make by going...
So what is what do you think that... Like, if you were a Foley artist, what, like, visual element would you pair with that noise?
This noise?
Yeah. Yep.
I would... A very overweight man at a restaurant waiting for his food.
He doesn't have to be overweight. He could just be very hungry.
Very hungry man.
Yeah.
That's
all
what
woman.
Do.
It's 2015.
That's
women
true.
Women can be hungry as well.
That's
right?
True. Finally.
Hey, I've got some pretty great news, Ben.
Don't tell me. I already know it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's not keep your emails up. Then. No. On the 16th of July, you and I and some of our favourite guests will be doing a live version of this podcast at the Giant Dwarf Theatre.
Yeah.
So, people, if you're listening to this, you should buy tickets to that.
You should. They're on sale, aren't they?
I assume so.
Yeah.
The producer of that theatre has emailed me, and you replied to that email. And so, I think it's on sale.
I think we're going. It's always a really fun night.
Yep.
We've done like three or four live shows. This will be our second one at the Giant Dwarf. We get a bit of audience participation. Everybody gets snacks.
We get a bunch of people turning up who have never listened to the podcast before, which is baffling.
It is a strange thing to have happen.
So if you'd like to come along to that, that'd be great. 16th of July at the Giant Dwarf Theatre in Sydney. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
Benjamin, we have a guest this week.
We do!
She is a longtime friend of mine and I guess acquaintance of yours.
Okay, well, let's not rank people here.
She's a comedian and she's one of the kind of, I guess, four or five people who run the monthly Wolf Comedy Night. It's in a very good comedy night I've been to and performed at. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast, Bish Marzouk. How's it going?
Good.
Did I fuck up your last name?
Nope, that was fine.
We had a chat beforehand and I said, I don't want to fuck this up. And then Ben said, you're going to fuck it up.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I said it, oh boy, did I doubt myself.
You put a bit of flair on it, I got to say. Yeah, there was a little bit of flair on that.
That's all that's required. Any way you can flare it up
is fine. I'm very sorry. It's great to have you. And it's especially great to have you because you brought snacks.
I did.
But I think you were under the impression that guests were required to bring snacks, were you?
No, I just knew snacks were involved somehow. I wanted to contribute. Is that...
No, that's...
Have I created a...
No, this is fantastic. Can you talk us through? Because it's rare that there's a snack on the show. I mean, I don't want to boast, Bish, but I'm pretty across snacks. If you were on Millionaire... And you got a snack-based question, you could do worse than call me, is what I'm saying. But this is a snack I've never seen before. Can you talk us through it?
I didn't think I had to show and tell.
You do?
Okay,
sure. It's called...
So look, something's got to fill the hour, bitch.
I see.
Whether it's just reading off the back of a packet.
Well, it's called Quadratini, dark chocolate variety, because I only eat dark chocolate.
Okay.
It's the only chocolate that's worth its weight in
chocolate.
I think it's German or something. It's basically like little wafer cubes.
Uh-huh.
Have you eaten this snack before?
As a child, I think, and I was in Woolies yesterday and I walked past it and I don't know, something triggered in my memory and I had to...
I'm going
to
open these.
Yes, please.
Unless that wasn't the go.
She just brought them to look at. This is a visual snack, I think you'll find.
Okay, what you're about to hear is a lot of crunching. Oh, this is a very good snack.
It's a very good snack?
Mm, I'd say it's...
Thank you.
It's wafer-based, but sometimes you can get wafers that are very cardboardy and crunchy.
Mm.
I mean, sorry, not crunchy.
Right.
Got a lot of crunch to this, which is doubly good for me because it makes a lot of noise. Which I'm enjoying. And you're right, the dark chocolate is delightful.
Bish, can I ask, which aisle of the supermarket did you find this snack in? Was it in like the like quasi-foreign aisle or was it in the like confectionery aisle?
It was actually just in the biscuit aisle next to
biscuit.
Arnott's.
Oh, I see.
Really?
Yeah.
And if I might be so bold as to ask, because it has dark chocolate in it, does that mean a vegan could eat those snacks?
Oh, great question.
Maybe.
Well, if you can't hear...
I'll have a read... are you still vegan?
I'm trying. Still trying.
Love her little faith.
No. Well, because I used to be vegan as well, and then that.
What, and you gave
didn't
up?
Didn't last. Yeah.
Because
it's got milk in it.
But don't despair, Hing, because I have brought some snacks for snack report. The first you can't have. which is...
I brought some snacks to see you also can't eat.
Yeah. Which is super premium Australian licorice. Oh, you could eat that. Ah, but what's it wrapped in? It's wrapped in chocolate.
So, that seems needlessly aggressive.
I'll tell you what I'm happy to do. I'm happy to suck the chocolate off this and then hand you the rest of it.
Like a baby bird.
Like spit the
And spit licorice. The licorice into your mouth.
Are you going to chew the licorice before you spit it into my mouth?
No.
I didn't think licorice could get any worse. But
good. Okay. Off to a great start with this. Two guests can't eat this. One out of disgust. One out of diet. Okay. Moving on. This is just a classic because if you're going to go something that is can be as divisive as licorice, I'm not an idiot. I know that licorice isn't for everybody. I've gone and gotten some Trolley Bright Crawlers, which is a classic sour snack.
Classic sour snack.
Yeah, and I think this is a worldwide classic snack. I don't think we need to explain anything for
international. Well, this continues the theme of German snacks, I believe, because I think Trolley is a Bavarian company.
Yeah, well, no, it's a German wholly owned enterprise.
Ooh.
Yeah, it is manufactured in China, though, so there you go. Bish, what do you...
Oh, I'm a fan.
Great. Yeah. Okay. So that's we can eat them.
Yeah, it's fine. Have a great party. Have a great bright crawler party, you guys.
It's the gelatin that would be the issue in here. And then for Hing, I have Woolworth's home brand mints. And they are crown mints. I'm saying that, and to put this for listeners, like they are the kind of mints that you would find in a jar at your great aunt's place.
Not your grandmother's.
No, your great aunt.
Your grandmother loves you and will give you the snacks that...
Yeah, it's like the kind of, like, you know when you're a kid and you're like, I can't conceive of not eating candy until I'm told to stop.
Mm.
It's like how many lollies do you want? Well, how many have you got? Like, this is a stupid question. But these mints, if they were left unattended, you'd have like one or two and be like, okay. That's it. So there's something for you.
Well, thank you very much, Ben.
Enjoy that. I'm going to open them now.
And Ben, I believe we've got some form of unfinished business as well this week.
We've got a bit, yeah. Do you want me to go first?
Yes.
I've been chatting during the course of the week with someone who I work with. Who
Name names.
Her name is Harriet.
Great. Hi, Harriet.
And she's one of our runners at work. And I was just, we were just on a shoot and I was talking about yaois because it was on my mind from last week's podcast. Bish, last week we spoke a lot about the Australian chocolate yaois. Do you remember yaois?
I did not grow up here, so I have no idea.
Fair.
I didn't have, where did you grow up? You grew up in Bahrain, yeah? Mm-hmm. They did not have the Australian chocolate snack, the yaoi in Bahrain?
Nope.
Didn't penetrate to Bahrain. The
interesting.
Bahrain
we did
market.
Have Blinky Bill, though. So.
What? What?
Yeah.
In, what
all
was this?
About that little rascal.
Was that broadcast on some sort of Australian network?
No, just local TV.
And was it dubbed into a language other than English?
No.
Or,
No, just English.
Wow.
What?
Is that accents and everything?
Is it like, is Blinky Bill like the David Hasselhoff of Bahrain? In that it's like, it's not hugely popular where it's from.
I'll correct you, mate. It's hugely popular where it's from.
Blinky Bill?
It's hugely popular.
Yeah, but what if it's like still around in Bahrain is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see. So, Bish, I'm sorry that this is what the podcast is about now. but so when you came to Australia and you knew about Blinky Bill, were you disappointed or were you to what extent did Australia not match up to your expectations?
Do you think, and I just need to, I don't mean to step in here, but are you asking Bish if prior to coming to Australia, she assumed there were mischievous talking animals? Is that the question that we're asking our guest?
I guess, it's like if that was the only thing you knew about Australia, you would probably think that Blinky Bill takes up a lot more cultural landscape in Australia than it does.
But he's emblematic of our larrikin attitudes.
That was not the only thing I knew about Australia.
The other thing! Do you imagine Bahrain's only kind of, like, the only piece of media they consume is Blinky Bill?
Well,
like, they don't have fucking news?
Yeah, we also had Ocean Girl.
Sorry, it's just Blinky Bill and Ocean Girl. And then round the twist.
I feel like in the way that I thought Blinky Bill was your only view of Australia, maybe my only view of Bahrain is the children's television shows you watch as a child.
So Yowie's Bish were like an Australiana Kinder Surprise. So it was like really Aussie-themed. Yowies are an indigenous mythical creature. It depends who you ask, actually. I've been looking up Yowie hunters a lot lately because a friend of mine went to a friend of the podcast, actually, Simon Griner, went to a paranormal conference as a kind of reporter The Blue Mountains and met some Yowie hunters, and they're fascinating people.
What are they meant to be?
They're like our Bigfoot hunters.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, one of them started his speech, his talk on the Yowie, or it was the Yowie or the Bunyip, I can't remember, with a cast on his hand, and he was like, apologies for the hand, got this shaking hands with the Bunyip. QED. So, yeah. So, anyway, Yowies were a chocolate that were basically a ripoff of Kinder Surprises in that they were a hollowed chocolate, and then inside was a capsule, and inside that capsule was a figurine. Mm-hmm. And they were all kind of Australiana crap. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to one of our producers, it's Harriet, and she was saying she's been looking up Yowies, and I never got to the bottom of why, but she had, and her research checks out in that they've now expanded to the US, and they've done away with nearly all of the Australian stuff. And I've got a list here that I can read.
A list of what?
A list of the new Yowie range. Would you like to hear it?
Okay.
African grass owl, alpaca, American bison, brown bear, common clownfish, emperor penguin, European rabbit, fennec fox. Oh, is that named after Jack Fennec, maybe? Maybe that is Australian. the Galapagos tortoise, the giant anteater, the giant panda, the grey wolf. So they've done away with all of the... I mean, there is, like, down the bottom, the platypus, the red kangaroo, and the southern hairy-nosed wombat, but that makes up for a very small percentage.
So, but they're still called Yowies.
Still called Yowies.
Right.
And they're available in America, but, get this, not in Australia.
So this is a limited edition American-owned version of an Australian snack that's been reinvented.
Yeah, this is Vegemite all over again.
But isn't the point of the Yowie that they're meant to be mythical? So is it inadvertently going to...
So, no, to illustrate the mythical slash, like, real-world animal science distribution of Yowies, the chocolate figurine is mythical in nature, and then the inner capsule, I believe, is
real.
Is a real toy. Is a real animal toy.
Sure. It's a made up.
I think
you eat the made up thing.
Yeah.
Okay. But inside is a real thing.
Inside's real, and you can't eat it because it's real.
Sorry, when Ben says it's a real thing, he means it's like it's alive.
Oh, maybe kangaroo. It's just kind of like a metaphor. Inside all mythical things is a nugget.
Is a nugget of truth.
Oh, that is beautiful.
That is really great. And Hing, did you have unfinished business?
I have a bit of unfinished business, which is basically just more Dracula's chat. Now, Bish, you may or may not know this, but a thing we're obsessed with is the Dracula's Cabaret Restaurant, which is a theatre and dinner experience in both Melbourne and on the Gold Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a quick Dracula search on Gumtree today and found someone selling... three adult tickets to the fabulous Dracula show on the Gold Coast,
mm-hmm.
For I think something like $210. Yeah. And the show is awesome. I was given the tickets as a gift, but I've already been, so I'm selling them at a great price, which makes me think like, no, not a lot of return customers to the Dracula's franchise.
Yeah. You won't see it again and again.
but here is what is absolutely fascinating and some new clues as to what Dracula's mm-hmm, is. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It reads as such. The price includes dinners and the show. That is a three-course dinner, mm-hmm. show, and a ghost train ride.
What?
So Dracula's is not just a theatre cabaret restaurant. It's also a ghost train.
That's maybe it's not in the venue because that's a bit expensive. Maybe they just follow
a
you
ghost
home.
Ghost follows
on the...
you on the train. Yeah.
And by ghost, I mean like actor who hates you. And themselves dressed as Frankenstein's monster sitting next to you on the train being like boogity boogity boo.
Yeah, you have to take the train, no trams.
Yeah, exactly.
This is amazing to me. Like the idea of a ghost train.
Also the idea that somebody like had been to Dracula's before and clearly raved about it because they loved it, unless they're just trying to offload the tickets.
Mm.
And they loved it so much that someone was like, let's get Mike another ticket to Dracula's. Like, he seemed to really enjoy that.
What do you get the man who has everything for Christmas?
The same thing you got him last year, yeah. A ticket to Dracula's. I have some Dracula's unfinished business too.
Oh.
Sorry.
No.
Yeah? Well, do you remember last week on the podcast? We've never bought anything on this podcast. Like, it's been weird. We've done it for, like, yeah, 50 episodes now, and we look at ads all day, and we've never bought anything. Not all day. Like, we do other things. This takes an hour, don't worry. But there was a Dracula's themed shot glass that we were talking about last week, and our guest, Lee Namo, said, you know, I actually collect shot glasses and I would love this thing. And I was like, Lee, I'm buying you that shot glass. So on air, I sent an email to the lady and she was like, pick up only. And I was like, okay, but like, because she's in kind of rural Victoria.
Mm.
And I was like, can we organize postage? Mm. And she was like, I'll get back to you. And we were really, really friendly back and forth. And then she's like, postage and packing is going to be like $15 plus the PayPal thing. So it's going to come to about $15.60. And this was like for a $2 shot glass. And I was like, lady, I feel really bad about, I didn't call her lady. I was like, listen, dollface. I was like, that's so great. Thank you. Look, I feel bad about making you go to the post office. Why don't we just make it an even 20 and then you can ship it to my friend and that'll be that. And then she just dropped off the radar. I think I offended her.
Why did you?
I wanted to give her $4.40.
She doesn't want your charity.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. Do you think that's what it was?
She's running a legitimate business, Ben. She doesn't want your charity.
She's not. She's getting paid $2 to go to and package it up and get it.
That's her job, though. There's some dignity in that. Don't take that away from her.
Bish, I don't think this is her job. I think she probably has another job. And I put it to you, there's not a quiet dignity in packaging up a Dracula's themed shot glass.
All right, this is a podcast where we go through the week's classifieds and find the best things to talk about. I think we should kick it off with this one. This has been sent in by a listener, in fact.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it is by Claire Darovan.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Have I ruined that?
Okay, Bish, one of the things that you may have picked up from when we introduced you is a running theme on this podcast is despite our best efforts, mispronouncing people's last names. And Claire... Mm-hmm. Who sent in a lot of stuff for us.
A great listener.
Got excellent sending in classifieds game. Sent us an email being like, hi guys, here's another classified, just so you know. My last name is pronounced like this. You actually tried twice and got it wrong both times.
No.
And totally friendly, totally nice. And we were like, okay, we will put that to rights now because you sent in another one. And then you fucked it up, Hing.
What did I say?
You said like Smith or something.
Third time was not the charm.
Nope.
And should I have said it, Ben?
I don't know. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm cursed.
Well, thank you, Claire. Thank you, Claire, for sending this in. This has been taken from the Honeywood, Tasmania region of Gumtree.
Is that a place?
Honeywood, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, it's pretty cute. And it is entitled, Free Roosters, Free Roosters, Free Rosters. And it
hang on, can you tell me the punctuation on that? Like, okay. is it free roosters exclamation mark, free roosters question mark, or is it...
Actually, you know what? It's baffling. It is free, then star, star, roosters, star, 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 free roosters, star, 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 free rosters, star, star, star.
Sounds like Morse code.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's sending a telegram.
All right, and the copy reads as such. This is from Jenny, and copy reads as such. Hi, all. I have roosters to give away. There's about 8 of them. Must catch them yourself. Fishing net needed. Most likely, I'm in Briggs Road, Honeywood. Phone number.
Hey, look.
Most likely.
Is she lost?
The roosters are lost.
Based on the direction of the sun.
Well, I think what's confusing is there's no punctuation, so I don't know if when she says that... Most likely. She's saying fishing net needed most likely, or she's saying fishing net needed. Most likely I'm in Briggs Road. Like, I'm not sure where that most likely fits in that sentence structure.
So she's saying if the roosters are especially riled up, you will need a net.
Yeah.
And one of those gladiator trident things.
Interestingly enough, she'll be playing like blaring music from her speakers that's just catchy, like
just going goo.
And then after you catch them, she does the thumbs up or thumbs down to let you know whether or not to kill the roosters.
Yeah. And you don't get a say. You were like, oh, I was gonna take this home.
Hey, Bish, I'd be curious, have you ever owned chickens or fowl of any type?
Oh my gosh, I have.
Really?
And I don't like to admit that because I lived in an apartment my whole life growing up, but we had a chicken and 2 ducks.
What?
For a brief period of time.
How brief?
Like a couple of weeks.
You had internal...
Just looking after them.
You had indoor birds. Like egg-laying birds. I guess all birds lay eggs, sorry.
Not roosters, mate. That's what that riddle is.
Not all roosters. where were you living at the time?
Just an apartment in Byron. This was me growing up, and my dad had a friend who had a little chick and 2 ducklings, so we took them in.
Did the guy know that?
Yeah.
Or did your dad, duck nap them?
No. Like, they knew they just needed a place to crash. I think. Until they could find a better home. Mm-hmm. Which they eventually did, but then...
Where did they get palmed off onto?
I think friends of ours who had, like, a bigger garden and sort of a...
Because when you said we only had them for a couple of weeks, I was like, it is so crucial as to how this story ends. As to whether or not my day is ruined.
No.
You had, what was it like? What was the experience like having internal apartment chickens and ducks?
I didn't get much sleep, but...
Because of the crowing, the constant crowing?
Yeah, they were just really loud.
Did you have water for the duck to live in? Did you fill a bathtub?
No, they didn't really need to live. Like,
yeah, there is an expression based solely around how much ducks like water. Like,
have you ever had ducks, Ben?
You're right. I have not had ducks.
Yeah, stand down, Jenkins.
But that's the thing, like, a bear can live in a cage. Like, it won't die immediately if you put it in a cage, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, Ben, how would you go about, what is your
Here's my question about... Okay, yeah.
I was gonna ask, what is your strategy? You're there, there are eight roosters, and you've got Annette? What is your... I mean, I've recently seen the Jurassic World movie.
Uh-huh.
And I mean...
Have any tips?
Well, interestingly, velociraptors, they run, the way they run is based on the way birds and chickens run, right? I think that's how the animation works. In
right, not how the raptors learnt to walk.
Yeah, they were like, interesting, these chickens.
Yeah, let's base that on things that are famously shit at walking.
And you know, they hunt in packs and stuff, and
just like chickens.
Yeah, but in that movie, there is one scene where there's sort of a SWAT team that's going to go and try and capture a dinosaur, and they fire a net at it, and it goes on the dinosaur's face.
Yep,
and then the dinosaur goes rah and breaks the net with its giant jaws.
Yeah, so, what did they think would happen then?
But should we have a spoiler?
I don't think that's not a really big spoiler, is it?
Oh, great. Now I know there are dinosaurs in it. Cheers, mate.
Now I know there are nets in it.
Yeah. Because when that net comes on screen, everyone goes, oh, my God.
What's going to happen?
Let me say,
in the lead up to that confrontation between SWAT team and dinosaur, there is absolutely no doubt that encounter is not going to go well for the SWAT team.
Yeah, right.
It's not like they're going in there being like, oh, I think we can do this. Everyone in the lead up, you know what's going to happen.
It's going to be a 40-minute movie. That's weird.
Oh, they put him back in the cage and everything was fine.
Let me say this. Even if I could catch eight roosters, mm-hmm. which I don't know that I could, I'm realistic about my own abilities. Mm. This lady doesn't even know what she is. so addled is she by these roosters. But if I got eight roosters, is eight roosters about seven roosters too many?
Well, what do you mean?
Like, roosters are useless without chickens, right?
I think these are probably meat roosters.
Oh,
you might want to kill an
I thought the point of roosters was... It's breeding.
Oh, you don't eat roosters. I don't eat roosters.
Well, I mean, red rooster is a chain. And it seems like... I mean, ooh,
do you think red rooster only serves male chickens?
That's a really good question.
I mean, I'm sure they don't. I'm almost certain their business model would have failed long ago.
No, what I mean is, like, do we even eat male chickens?
Surely you do. Why wouldn't you?
Rights? I don't know.
Well, my question was like, so you're there, there's a rooster coming at you, you throw a net on the rooster,
yep.
right? Then you've got a rooster in a net, and you've got seven more roosters.
And they're unhappy.
You have to catch them all. I don't think
No, they're like Pokemon in that regard.
But how do you catch roosters 2 through 8 without letting the first rooster go? Because the first rooster's in your net. How are you going to throw that net without letting the first rooster go?
You put it on a boat with a box.
And a bag of feed.
Yeah. That's and it takes all fucking afternoon, but you're gonna get it done. Oh man.
Oh. Alright, let's move on. Ben, do you have one there?
I do. This one is also from Tasmania and it's also from a listener. Bridget Dunn.
Or Dune?
Yeah, what do you think, Bish?
Dunn.
Bridget Dunn. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bridget. It's from the Hobart Mercury.
Hello.
So it's actually a listed ad. And you know how often we get ads that are basically gibberish? What fascinates me about this is that it costs money to place an ad in a paper. Money and time and a letter, I assume. Mm-hmm. To put gibberish on Gumtree, it's a fucking afternoon. We've all done it. It's nothing. It's just like 5 minutes. So anyway, see if we can make sense of this. Thank you, Bridget. From the Hobart Mercury, you, as in... The female sheep is the heading.
Right.
18th of February, 1986. That's not like this was from recently. I'm just saying. Okay, like, that's how the ad starts.
Yep.
Bulgarian goat farmer, no profit, judge rule in favor of government. $24,953. Round it up. No more pears. First house gone. Keep receipts.
Oh, this is a story. This is a story that has been truncated because of pay by the letter advertising. Do you know what I mean? Like, this person obviously has a very long, very complicated
history.
History and kind of interaction, legal interaction, I assume, with some sort of government body.
Yeah.
But because they have to pay by the letter, I think they've really shortened it down. In the way that some people, do you know how sometimes you're crafting a tweet?
Yep.
And you're like, ah, oh, I'm like 18
truncate,
over.
Truncate.
And then you read back and you're like, oh, I've taken all the meat out.
That was with load-bearing words. Yeah, dude, this person's like, I wish someone would write a newspaper article about my incredible life.
Mm.
And then it's like, nah, I'll just put it in myself and they're really cheap.
Yeah, this is this person's autobiography.
Yeah.
If I ever write an autobiography, I want it to be called No More Pears. And that's pears is in the fruit, by the way. That's how that's spelled.
Can we go through it again?
Yes.
And we'll go line by line. We'll try and piece together this person's life.
18th of February, 1986. Can you Google that?
Okay. And so things that happened on this day.
18th of February, 1986. Bulgarian goat farmer. No profit. Judge rule in favor of government. That's the first bit.
Okay. So what's happened is there's some sort of babe-like competition. Is there?
What?
And there's a dispute? Wait, do you say there's a goat herding competition?
No, goat farmer, Bulgarian goat farmer, no profit, judge rule in favour of government.
Oh, right, sorry. Okay, I thought...
So I think this could be...
I thought this was like a sheepdog trial scenario.
Their farm was failing and not making a profit.
And so the government took it. So this is Bulgaria's like answer to the castle. It was a heartwarming story of the government trying to take this goat farmer's farm away. Mm. And he lost because, like, not all heartwarming stories end like that.
Yeah.
Because there's no Bulgarian Bud Tingwell to come and rescue them. There isn't. There just simply isn't. They've got a deficiency in that. Then there's money, $24,953.27. Round it up. That's the next bit. So I assume that might be the payment or...
Yep.
No, they were all rounded up.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yes.
Yep. And then no more pears. First house gone. Keep receipts.
They all got a divorce.
Yep.
All right.
I mean, could keep receipts be the last little bit of like, and that's the moral of this story. Always keep your receipts.
All right. Let me take you guys back quickly to 18th of February, 1986.
Yep.
This is from takemeback.2, the website. Mm-hmm. It was a Tuesday under the sign of Aquarius.
Uh-huh.
The president was Ronald Reagan.
Okay.
Open brackets, Republican, close brackets. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. In that special...
He legally changed his name to that, actually.
Of Bulgaria?
No. Well, according to this. I didn't look up Bulgarian. This is a very American-centric website. In that special week of February, people in the US were listening to How Will I Know by Whitney Houston. In the UK, When the Going Gets Tough. Mm-hmm. Open brackets, The Tough Get Going. Close brackets by Billy Ocean.
Yep.
Was in the top five. Carry On Jack, directed by Gerald Thomas, was one of the most viewed movies released in 1986.
Uh-huh.
And that is the extent of what they're telling us about that.
That's not a lot, is it?
Not a lot at all. So I have no idea about any context for this.
Well, I can tell you guys that on the 18th of February 1986, San Antonio's Alvin Robertson scored NBA's second quadruple. That is the fucking lamest on this day. That's just a sports thing. That's all that is.
What did they score?
They just scored a second quadruple double, 20 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists, and 10 steals against Phoenix. That doesn't sound like a...
Maybe that's quite a remarkable...
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of points.
But is that like, okay, in the entire world, the thing that happened in this 24 hours is a pretty good basketball score?
It's Tuesday, you know.
Okay.
Slow news Tuesdays.
Okay.
A person born on this day will be 29 years old today.
Mm-hmm.
Not today. Oh, I guess today. Yeah. If that same person saved a penny every day starting at age 7, then by now, that person had accumulated...
Oh, is it? $24,953.27?
No, it's $81.58.
That's pretty
it's
shit.
It's not a lot. I guess a penny a day, you're only saving $3.65 a year.
Oh, check out bloody John Nash over here. Crunching the fucking numbers. Bish, do you have one?
I do. This is from Crestwood, which I'm not sure
think it's in America somewhere.
In America. And the title reads, "Need lawnmower, will trade my tiger salamander." So 7 to 8 months comes with food for a year and cleaning drops for 3 years.
Mm.
Tank and rocks feed twice a week. She's spotted named Queen Elsa.
Hey.
Yeah.
Is that a frozen thing?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I really need a mower and my young daughter likes to try to get her. So I don't think I can keep her. She's awesome. No noise, clean tank every few days. She has matured and no longer has gills, so she can be in tank with damp soil as long as she has a bowl of water to dip into.
Mm.
Just like ducks, handy. Fish. Just like ducks.
Try to forget. She can also eat bugs and stuff.
Oh,
hey. Yeah. What a talented little salamander.
And if there is water, just a gallon is okay. But she needs something to get out, like, of the rock.
Because she doesn't have gills. That's basically saying, don't drown this animal. Yeah.
Saying something to get out of the rock, as in the prison in San Francisco?
It's a tiny little Sean Connery salamander.
They have no teeth and don't bite.
In general, I guess.
Yeah.
So is it saying, when he says my daughter is always trying to get her, it's like, I'd love to keep the salamander, but my daughter will kill it if I don't, and I want a lawnmower. So we find ourselves in quite a happy...
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I have something you want. Well, I mean, I don't know that. Certainly you have something I want, potentially.
Yeah. Do salamanders lose their gills?
Yeah, I think that's part of their puberty.
Why would they do that? Why would that ever be a good evolutionary tactic?
Because they come out of the water, don't they?
I think... Oh.
Bitch, you're an actual scientist. Yeah. You would know better than me.
Oh, yeah,
not an evolutionary biologist.
Yeah, well, it's science. But,
science, sure. All the same.
I think
you're closer to an evolutionary biologist than any of these two clowns over here.
It's true. Any of these common clownfish.
I think they sort of gestate in the water when gills would be handy, and then they lose them so they can sort of move up.
But why would gills be bad in the not water?
Because you can't breathe, because you're just breathing air into your gills, and then they're all...
But hang on, like, no, I don't think so. Because do gills get in the way if you're not a...
Oh, wait, there are things.
Well, the way the gills work is like diffusion from, like, of oxxygen dissolved in the water.
Uh-huh.
Right. Okay, so are there any...
It's getting all bloody radio lab up in here.
are there any land animals that have... Like, does an amphibian have gills? Is that a rule? Or
I just know that Kevin Costner... Right, I understand that Kevin Costner in Waterworld had gills. And that didn't seem to be a problem for normal breathing. It right, was just okay. A cheeky bonus.
Right.
Like, he was never like, ah, my bloody gills are full of air. now I can't beat Dennis Hopper. My bloody gills are full of air. And that I don't think that ever happened.
Right, okay.
In the movie.
Okay. Why haven't they done a remake of Waterworld?
Yeah.
Because the original Waterworld was, I think, successfully sued for a lot of money.
By who?
By George Miller.
Who?
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
What happened? What?
George? Okay. Oh, fuck. I could be getting this wrong. This is one of the things that I've just, like, I heard and just believed for about 2 years.
Okay.
But Mad Max Fury Road was funded in part... by a lawsuit with Waterworld, because George Miller was just like, well, you've just made Mad Max.
Max on water.
Yeah. And I don't know why Waterworld's lawyers weren't like, well, the defining feature of Mad Max was a lack of water. And that's very much quite an integral part of the world we created. But yeah, no, they was just like, no, this character. And,
I guess there's a similar thing in the Waterworld movie, Freshwater. That's the irony. You see, there's water everywhere, but
and let's all have a drink. Yeah, that's So I'm pretty sure that's why they haven't made a water. Also, because it was a financial disaster.
Yeah,
before they got sued.
But surely it'd be cheaper to make now that you already have that big thing they made the Titanic in. You know what I mean? You've already got that studio they made the Titanic in. Just make Waterworld in that.
What are you talking about?
You know when they made Titanic?
Yeah, but that wasn't the breakthrough in Titanic. They've had the ability to gather water in a large area for like years now. Like, they're called Horizon Tanks.
I am reminded of the time they filled the Colosseum with water.
Yeah.
It's been around for a while.
Around, like, they have been able to be like people haven't been looking at water and going, oh, if only we could contain that somehow. But as it happens, I just have to drink from this river like a dog. Yeah, so basically Waterworld was about a salamander, right?
Oh, so what do you think the market value of a salamander is?
Well, hopefully at least the market value of a lawnmower.
Well, how much is a lawnmower worth? This is how little I know about
the
world.
I don't understand why he's equating, can't he, I don't...
It just seems, this is where a barter system breaks down, right? Because there is no way a salamander is equal to a lawnmower, right?
Well, hang on.
Okay, in what way?
Okay, first of all, it's not a salamander, it's a tiger salamander.
Is that a rare type of salamander?
Well, you don't know if it's a rare type of tiger. I'm just saying, you're throwing a lot of fucking things around. We've got one person here who's a scientist. You're a dickhead. And you're saying, and you know nothing about either salamanders, tigers, or I'm going to throw it out, their lawnmowers. And yet you can come out here and fucking be like, oh no, I know the value of a slice of bread. So I think I'm having a stroke. I think it's very possible.
I feel like this argument we're having now isn't actually about the tiger salamander. I think this argument is still about Waterworld and Titanic, to be honest. There's a lot of hostility coming because of that.
I have just, in the past little while, when I went quiet there, I was trying to Google anything about a lawsuit between George Miller and Waterworld. And look, Google has not been forthcoming. I'll put it that way. I could be wrong.
Do you want to tweet at George Miller and ask him?
I don't think he's on Twitter.
Oh, right. Well.
Yeah. I'll tweet at Kevin Costner. Yeah, no, I just mean, like, if this is all the guy has to swap, that's alarming.
Mm.
If he's down to his last tiger salamander.
And he's willing to give away his daughter's favorite pet.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, yeah, she'll probably kill it. Like, it's like, Dad, I love it. It's like my only friend. It's like, yeah, getting a bit close to that. Like,
Clumsy hands, this daughter.
Yeah, it's like fucking Off Mice and Men up in here. Like, you're just going to hug that thing too close. You know the original was called Of Salamander and Men?
And Little Girl.
Yeah, and Little Girl? Yeah. Of Salamander and Little Girl. And she tries to hug it like the rabbits, but it goes poop out of her hand.
To be fair, if you give your daughter like human growth hormone and you call her Lenny, like she
is.
She is kind of, you know, destined.
That was Steinbeck's message.
Hey, speaking of swapping things, I have one I want to share with you guys here, which is from the Washington, D.C. Craigslist, and it is entitled... We'll trade snake for puppy.
Huh. That's less lateral. Like, they're both animals.
I have a 4-foot female ball python that I want to trade for a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot have the snake in our home anymore due to custody issues. So we want to get the kids a puppy since we have to get rid of their snake. We are not interested in older puppies, only young ones. We
would prefer... Hang on, what's... Oh. Yeah, you mean dogs. Do you mean dogs? We're not interested in big wild puppies. No, you mean wolves.
We're not interested in puppies that are only around for one day every year on the full moon. Lycanthropes. We'd prefer a medium to large breed. Does not come with a cage. We are allowed to keep our small snake.
What puppies come with a cage?
No, the snake.
The snake doesn't come with a cage. But so they have several snakes.
That probably. Just seemed a bit defensive. Yeah, doesn't come in the cage. We're allowed to keep our small snake.
So if you turn up and we've got a small snake, that's fine. We're allowed to keep it.
Okay, so how big is this? 4 foot. That's not very big at all.
It's a meter.
Oh, no, I was thinking, yeah, four foot's not small.
Yeah, that's like your arm span, I would guess.
Or no, your arm span is your height, and I am not 4 feet tall. So,
continue.
That's...
that's it. Do you know how your height... is your arm span. That is a real Leonardo da Vinci fact. Do you know what I mean? Like, that seems like a conspiratorial...
Yeah.
Anyway, not important. Let's
I mean, it's only true if you are the Vitruvian Man.
Right.
Yeah. What did you say, Mish?
I'm sure he knew.
He knew? Yeah, I'm trying to guess. I mean, ball pythons are from memory, and we need one of the Riley sisters on, because they were snake experts. We once had... Do you know Hannah or Eliza Riley? Yeah, we once had Eliza on, and we were being dickheads, being like, no. Oh, why would you bloody have that kind of python, blah, blah, blah. And Eliza was just like, well, here's why, and just rattled off like a ton of awesome snake facts.
Nice.
Yeah.
So a ball python, that is not named for...
It's not in the shape of a sphere.
No, but...
Was that, these are the pythons that are as tall as they are wide.
But actually, the ratio of, like, circumference to their...
Do you know that a python, if you want to know how tall a python is, you just measure how long it is? It's Vinci knew that.
It's spine span is the type python, you see.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of under the impression that pythons aren't all that dangerous. Like, I don't know if we talked about this in the podcast before, but I had to do it. Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah.
Or, I had to do a shoot.
They're not venomous, but they can.
But yeah, that's the thing. I had to do a shoot recently with a lot of snakes, and the ones that they brought in were carpet pythons.
Were you filming the new Indiana Jones film?
I was. Oh, well, now you bloody ruined it. And the twist is this time you bloody love snakes.
I can love them.
Yeah. Give me a bloody snake. And the Nazis are like, no, we bought a big barrel of snakes. We thought that was his one weakness. He's like, nah, dickheads went into therapy. Give me that relic. And they're like, no, here you go.
I want to see Indiana Jones in therapy.
I have a dream where I'm chased by a giant boulder. What do you think it means? I think it's just remembering the time that you were chased by a giant boulder. Yeah, I just think the boulder might represent something. No, I think it represents the boulder that chased you.
It's a one for one, yeah.
Oh, but what about my father? I have this dream where I'm giving my father this elixir so he doesn't die. Again, that was very much a thing that happened to you. I don't think you need this. I think you've just had a really fucked up life. So, I'm just saying that I don't know. When we were shooting with these snakes. And, like, these were long snakes. These were maybe 4 feet. Mm. But they would go...
Were they sort of bigger or smaller than your arm span?
they would wrap around your neck. And the way they kill things is by constricting them.
Strangling them. Yeah.
And, you know, they gave you a good hug. But, like, the handlers, when the snake wrapped around my neck, weren't concerned. Now, whether or not that's just because they didn't give a shit.
That's just callousness.
Yeah. But, like, I was like, ooh, he's having a hug. And they were like, yeah, it's fine. Like, he won't. Mm. But I was like, well, okay, I'll take your word at that because this does seem to be...
You have a weak neck.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't know that.
You have a brittle, brittle neck. Hey, Bish, as our resident science expert and evolutionary biologist, can I ask, they say they're allowed to keep their small snake. Won't that small snake most likely grow into a big snake and then they'll have to give it away? Or...
I am not qualified. I mean, I think some snakes just stay...
Are tiny,
that,
yeah.
That size
are
you, forever,
yeah, I mean,
surely.
This is just... Sorry. Do you think that things will just keep growing until they die?
No.
Like, do you think the only thing that stops a thing from growing to, like, the size of a room is lifespan?
I'm saying it's likely that if they bought one python that is too big, that the court has said, you can't have this anymore, then it's not likely they would... They're not the kind of people... What kind of person buys a large and small snake? They're probably buying a big
snake. Someone who loves bloody variety. Although I do like the idea of, like, the subtlety of that ruling, too. Like, their lawyer. Like, this person's lawyer being like, look... I managed to bargain the judge. You got to lose the big snake, but you can keep the small one. Thank you very much. That's why they call me the best. Oh, also, you don't have custody of your children anymore. That was traded for the small snake, but I think it's a pretty good outcome.
I think we can all agree.
You don't even need a cage for it.
And you could trade the big one for a puppy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So now you've got a small snake... A puppy and no children? Is that the situation you found yourself in?
It's not bad.
Oh, man. Do you have one there?
I do. Well, this is to return to a theme that we come back to a fair amount. I like looking up psychics and ghostbusters on Gumtree.
Mm.
But what I've never read before is reviews of them. Because sometimes they're like, you know, there's now a function on Gumtree where you can review. And I like this one because their overall rating is 3 out of 5. Okay? This is their copy. Ghostbusters. Hi, we're Nicole and Tamsin. Since 2013, we've been helping clear people's homes of unwanted guests. Wait, hang on.
This not strictly limited to ghosts.
Yeah. Oh, it does say from the other realm, but that could, you know.
It's racist.
Yeah,
exactly. We have our own unique way of... Okay, I want you to, for the rest of the ad... Imagine that what Bish said is right. That these people are just kicking foreigners out of people's houses and see if... from another realm, who make the people living in their own homes feel unwelcome. I feel like a stranger in your own country, mate. With our own unique way of ghostbusting, we now want to expand our business to help all in need of a house clearing and to feel welcome and safe in their home environment. Please feel free to message or call us. Okay?
Okay, okay.
Two reviews. The first review is 5 stars.
Hey!
I found these two lovely ladies to be so down to earth and very understanding. She told me, which one of them, I guess, a lot of things that I already knew. Well, okay?
That's easy. That's probably unhelpful.
And if anything, a lot more.
Start with that. Lead with that.
This is a house. She actually gave me more time to answer as much as I could. What? At times making me want to cry.
This sounds like a horrible
counseling service.
Yes. I defiantly recommend these ladies. We've got to assume definitely, but maybe not. Maybe.
No, you'd have to be defiant. Yeah.
In the face of overwhelming evidence.
As part of the custody battle, she's not allowed to.
I defiantly recommend these ladies. You will not be disappointed at all. Mm-hmm. In regards, such and such. It trails off.
Yep. Now, the other review.
The other review is one star.
They're averaging out to three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See how that
makes
works.
Sense now.
And it just says, it's the shortest review, which is just accuracy 0%. So,
is that because ghosts aren't real?
Yeah.
Like, in which case, did you invite them over not believing in ghosts? Like, do you know what
yeah.
I mean? So
yeah.
It's weird. Okay, what I'm saying is, for a thing that is made up,
yeah.
right? It's weird that you can say that this person has zero accuracy, given that you're all full of shit.
So there's two options here.
Yeah.
No, go on.
If you're saying the accuracy is 0%, there's a you've measured that, and you can't measure something.
But doesn't? Yeah, exactly.
But maybe it does, and this person.
Oh, right. So where they're like, yeah, look, it wasn't the fact that they came to my house, and ghosts are real.
Yeah.
Which, again, probably leave with that, but it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I think it's Bish's thing, which is just like they believe in ghosts, because your thing like is like this terrible kind of like weird Richard Dawkins style
yeah, exactly.
person who
yeah.
just like, hello, please come over to my house. I'd like to ask you some questions. And then they come over. They're like, hi. It's like, question one, are ghosts real? So, yes. Well, you're a bloody idiot and you can go. And then they run it.
Snappy review, yeah.
But I like your thing, which is just like.
They vape into their fedora. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. This person believes in ghosts and knows enough about the ghosts in their own house that when someone comes in and they're like, there's a ghost in the laundry, that there's not a fucking ghost in the laundry, I tell you that much free. There's a ghost in the attic and there's a Frankenstein in the roof.
There's a mummy in this coffin over here.
Yeah. But a ghost in the laundry, you are mate. Taking the bloody piss. Now you get out.
That is some zero accuracy, mate. Yeah. Some bloody zero accuracy.
None from none. Now fuck off.
Now I would say that probably both of those people are awful, right?
Yeah, both of those situations are a trap. Because if you are confident enough to say this person got nothing right about the ghost in my house, then you are claiming to know everything about the ghosts in your house. So in which case, you don't need these people.
Yeah.
You don't need these people at all.
Give them yourself.
Maybe this is a secret shopper.
Ben, you and I worked in retail for a long time. Bish, have you ever had a job in retail?
No.
Oh, no, that's fine. That is almost, you know.
Yeah, don't be ashamed of that.
Yeah, that's... bullet saved. Bullet saved, is that a phrase? Bullet dodged probably is what I should have said.
Bullet saved, yeah.
A bullet saved is a bullet dodged.
And a penny earned.
Did you have an interaction with a secret shopper?
Well, you're not meant to know, right? Like, I know we got secret shopped, but I didn't know who it was.
Yeah, but afterwards you get that form that says,
yeah.
You did not perform well, Michael.
Well, I... Well, yeah, I didn't get that form.
What form did you get? Did you do well in your secret shop?
I think it was quite hard for me to fuck up. Like, I recently told this story at Story Club, how, like, I worked in retail for years, and one of the jobs I had was working in a watch shop. And I was actually, like, kind of okay at the watch selling thing, but the thing that kind of lost me the job was that one day two men came in and I was like so helpful and friendly that I didn't notice that they stole 14 watches.
We were living together at the time.
Yeah.
And you came home and you were like, oh, I think I'm going to get fired. We're like, no, Ben, I'm surely fine. What happened? And you're like, let two men steal 14 watches. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, you're
gone.
Yeah.
But like if those men had been secret shoppers, which would have been strange, and they hadn't been stealing 14 watches, they would have found my service exemplary.
What if they were secret shoppers and had stolen 14 watches?
What if they were like, oh my God, we managed to steal 14 watches. This isn't even on the...
It's like
this isn't even on the form, but just on a whim, I was like, I reckon this dickhead would let me steal a watch. And then I didn't. It was so easy that I took 13 more.
I mean, I feel like there should be secret robbers as well. To see how easily robbable...
Like the way that like some like kind of like hackers they kind of hack Microsoft just to show Microsoft that there are security flaws.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
These are kind of like Knights of the Realm, but they travel from watch shop to watch shop just testing the security.
Yeah, yeah. And then they're like, ah, I managed to steal 16 watches from your establishment. Now perhaps you'd like to, you'd like to arrest me? because the hackers thing makes sense, because the hackers are like, well, if I don't hire this person, that person's still out there.
Yeah.
And it's hard, it's going to be hard to, but it's like, well, if I just put this person in prison, they can't steal any more watches from me.
Why can't they put hackers in prison? Not that I'm advocating to put hackers in
prison. It's in the Constitution, mate. Read it. Cybercrime. Yeah. It's not covered.
Bloody Snowden.
No, it's not.
Okay.
You can put hackers in prison, but I just think it's probably like it's easier to send that to Microsoft while remaining anonymous, I guess. Yeah, although I guess they could be like, yeah, you can have a job. The job interview is in this prison. Come there with a list of your strengths and weaknesses and a change of clothes.
I assume what would happen is you send them half the information and you say, hello, I'm a hacker. I can fix this security problem for you. Yeah. And they go, oh, there is a flaw. And then you keep the other half, I guess, with your mate.
Yeah.
And then if they lock you up, he releases it, and then Anonymous gets all up in Microsoft. I assume that's my plan. Not that I'm a hacker, obviously.
Yeah. We got a screenplay right here.
Yeah, I think we do. Oh man.
Wait, what were we talking about before? Oh yeah, secret shopping. Yeah. How do you get a job as a secret shopper?
You know what? A lot of these jobs are listed on Gumtree.
What?
Of being a secret shopper.
Do you love judging people without them knowing?
Yeah. Do you like at very best letting people keep their jobs? Like. Do you like that being the outcome of your day?
I remember one time at the bottle shop I worked in at Miranda Westfield, there was a staff meeting called, and I was sort of like the, I guess like 2IC of this shop, I guess like the second in charge, despite the fact that I was woefully incompetent and hated that job.
Sure.
And everyone else got a gift voucher from the secret shopper except for me, because when the secret shopper came in, I had ignored them completely and was playing a castle flash game on the computer.
Well.
And they asked me for some help, and I said, oh, David will be with you in a second. And then I went back to the castle game.
Oh, yeah, no, that's...
I mean, that was bad. That was my bad.
Secret shoppers are kind of the retail extension of, like, the panopticon, right? Like, you internalize surveillance because you assume that at any moment...
Well, that's another chapter in Foucault.
Yeah. The secret shopper. I'm just looking on Gumtree now. Like, this company is a global market research, and if you're interested in earning some extra money at a time that suits you, we got what you're looking for.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So do you require any qualifications?
It says zero qualifications. That's,
love shopping.
Yeah. Anyone over the age of 18 can apply, because it's a bit obvious if it's a baby with a clipboard. Bish, do you have one?
I do. Yes. This is from Eastern Shore Craigslist, which I'm guessing isn't the US as well. There's no title or anything, but there's a picture which will make sense after I read it.
Okay.
51-year-old single guy Barry. I want to meet a cool lady from 21 to 65 years old for fun times.
That's quite broad.
Yeah.
Wide
good
age.
On him.
Like if you join the age. Yeah, okay.
Open-minded. Social parties and food. I've been building my house for a year and it is almost done. Also, we got a deal on imitation crab meat. So we have too much and ran out of freezer space. Feel free to take some with you. Barry.
So, hang on. What does Barry want?
So Barry
and the picture is a picture of a big bag of crab meat.
Well, imitation crab meat.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. What is imitation crab meat? Like what?
Maybe it's soy crab meat, I guess, or maybe it's fish sticks.
Like seafood,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like seafood extender, probably.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Crab sticks.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, the thing in The Simpsons when Mr. Burns is making Little Lisa slurry, and it's like dragging the. That's how I imagine it's made.
So cut with it's caught with like 6-pack ring holders.
Cut with heroin.
It's quite so good. Mm. So basically, this guy is saying, "Hey, do you want to come on a date with me? We'll go to my house, maybe watch a movie, dinner
my
and
unfinished
dancing.
House.
Yeah, unfinished house. And then, hey, that's not a sweet enough deal for you. Do you want rapidly rotting imitation crab meat?
Because that's a good point.
That like, I cannot fit in my freezer.
That's the thing. He's not like my freezer is full of this stuff. He's like, there's stuff outside my freezer that you need to take with you. So you're right. It's rotting crab meat.
You know, at some point, I think... I would start to appreciate men being honest about what they can provide. And
I'm sick of being lied to.
Yes.
I actually think you're right, though. This guy is just like, look, I have a house. Is it finished? It's not. I, you know, I have some food. Is it is it decomposing crab meat? Yes. Is it even real crab meat? It's not.
But I can promise you a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Take it or leave it, ladies. It is what it is.
Yeah. It's refreshing.
Yeah. That's really true.
So,
because there would be a way to spin that.
What
to
do you
be
mean?
Like, to be like, you know, come over to my self-built home.
Oh, right.
And I'll
I've got lots of a seafood aficionado.
Yeah,
come over to my house that is rapidly increasing in value. As I
with every so, wall I add,
with every roof tile I complete.
You're right though. This is refreshingly.
Bish, are you aged between 21 and 65 years old?
Oh my gosh, I am.
Would you be willing to travel to East Shore in America for some imitation crab? What is
the other good thing is this guy is no fool. Like he got a good deal on it. Although he kind of thought it that much through when he's like when he's run out of freezers. But like you got to assume that that is his whole freezer. Like you can just take the ice cube trays out. Yeah. If he bought more than a freezer's worth of crab meat, imitation crab meat, without thinking that through, it doesn't show that he has a lot of forward planning skills.
Unless the deal was just so good he couldn't pass it up, right?
Mm.
Like if I said to you, hey, Ben, I've got a half ton of imitation crab meat here.
Yep.
I'll give it to you for 8 cents.
Yep.
For 10 cents. I'll give it to you for 10 cents.
Why did you change it?
Because I realised that 8 cents, well, it's rounding up to 10 anyway. You're going to pay 10.
I could pay pass it to you. Okay. So that'll be 8, mate. Don't lowball and then go, hi, that's not how bargaining works. Is it 8 or not?
It's 10.
Okay, well, I pass.
You're passing on a half ton of
yep.
500 kilos
now,
of imitation
crab.
Now, if it
was 8, we might be able to talk, but as it is.
It's 2 cents, mate. It's 2
yeah,
cents.
Yeah, well, mate, I didn't get to build this luscious bungalow without a roof by paying 2 cents more for crab meat than I needed.
This is Waterworld all over.
King, do you have one? Oh, sorry,
no,
bitch.
No.
No, go.
Oh, I was just wondering what he meant by we, because he then changes to we have too much crab meat. And
oh, yeah. We got a great deal in imitation crab meat.
Do you reckon Tim and the boys? It's the end of season 42, and they've gone, hey, look, we've got the swear jar all week. We've done the fines for pissing in the shower, etc. What are we going to put this all towards? Imitation crab meat.
Unless.
Bill knows a guy, he can get a great deal.
Unless it's like a typo or a bit of a like a tense mix-up. And he's actually saying in future, like, come over, social, we go dancing, we have drinks, we get a great deal in imitation crab meat.
My crab meat is your crab meat.
Me crab meat, Sue crab meat. You take some home. We have some kids.
Hey, can I share this one with you guys?
Nope.
Okay, it is entitled, Kick Someone in the Groin. And then I think you'll find that the image there is a kind of picture of a man's crotch area wearing pants.
Mm-hmm.
And then a sort of a sniper's scope on his dick and balls, yep. Which are obscured by his
camo. Pants. They look like camo pants.
Camo pants, yeah. And, okay, it reads as such. Ever wonder what it is like to kick someone in the groin?
Mm-hmm.
We need your help.
Right.
We are conducting an experiment for a self-defense book. We need people from all backgrounds to kick a volunteer in the groin and record results. Don't worry, we have done this before. No pay, but shouldn't take long.
All backgrounds?
Yeah.
Different people kick differently.
It's a very open market. They just want diversity in their research. All right?
Can you imagine being like Chinese and reading that without, and it didn't say all backgrounds, and going like, they're probably not going to want me. Like, imagine having that kind of internalized racism. Where
so, like, can I imagine? Like, you saying, can I imagine being Chinese, Ben?
Can you imagine? Can you imagine him? There are so many different. There are so many different options as to what this could be.
Yeah, I think the most likely option is, look, this is Fred. Now, when you kick him in the balls, he's going to pretend like he doesn't know what's going on. He's going to try and run away. But whatever you do, it's all part of the experiment.
He's going to say, why does this keep happening to me?
He may get off on it.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know.
Yeah, or it's that. Or it's a guy being like, you know, because we've seen ads like along these lines, definitely on Gumtree before or on Craigslist, where she's like, "Come around, kick me in the balls, and leave." Like, honestly, okay. Yeah, and like also the suspicious thing about this is if you were writing a book about self-defense, how many points of data do you need before you're like, "Okay, I'm willing to close the book on this. If you kick someone in the balls, it is going to hurt them."
But also, if you've studied martial arts and self-defense before, right?
Mm.
Surely the groin kick has been, like, defending a groin kick has been covered by, like, kung fu or,
no,
like...
this isn't about that. This is about a book for self-defense, I imagine, evaluating the efficiency of kicking someone in the ball, the efficacy of kicking someone in the ball.
Right, so you turn up to, like, a Mortal Kombat-style tournament.
Yeah.
You walk into Sub-Zero, kick him in the balls, and you see how he defends, got a Scorpion, yeah, got a Shaku, you go to Goro.
Yeah. I think it's like...
just your one move.
I think it's like we are writing a book on how to defend yourself from attack, and obviously one of the things that instinctively feels true is that kicking someone in the balls is going to incapacitate them. Mm-hmm. But there's like this weird fucking Galileo Institute offshoot of these people who are like, I just don't think the science is settled on whether or not this hurts.
You always have to keep up to date, you know.
Professional development.
Yeah.
And then one of the authors is like, dude, he's serious? Like, I've been kicking the balls before it hurts. And it's like, was it peer-reviewed? It's like, well, it wasn't peer-reviewed, but all right, well, let's do the only fair thing and get 20 people from different backgrounds. Yeah.
But then also, like, John Oliver is doing a segment being like, 98% of scientists agree that kicking in the balls hurts, all right? And it's ridiculous that we put these people on equal pairing when we do a debate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like how they controlled it with the different backgrounds.
Yeah.
Are they like, oh, it could just be if, like, a tall woman kicks you in the balls, it hurts. We just don't know.
My goodness. So, I mean, I see no downside to this because also it doesn't say in the copy, but it's tagged compensation, expenses paid.
Yeah, it does say no money, but I guess if you drive out.
Yeah, sure.
And I mean,
expenses would include us flying to America, presumably, to do this, I would think.
That's true.
I mean, I'll fly to San Francisco to kick a guy in the balls.
I'm going to be there soonish. If that offer's still there, I might swing by and give a kick on behalf of all of us.
Is that a thing? Have either of you ever kicked someone in the nuts before, Bish?
I shoved a door in someone's nuts.
Whoa!
you ripped it off its hinges and then threw it at their balls?
No, I was like... They were trying to come in, and this was in high school. Anyway.
Wait, if a door is kind of flat,
mm-hmm.
So the physics of that, how does it work for you to jam?
Well, they were trying to like.
They would be side on.
Their leg was in your door and you slammed a door on their nut. That is hardcore, man.
Yeah.
Wow, that is hectic. Were you all right? Did they run away or what happened?
Oh, no, it wasn't. We were just like fucking around.
Oh, it wasn't like a burglary. Right.
No. It was at school.
Right.
We met. Yeah. No, it was fine.
And even then, as a young budding scientist, did you write the results down? We used to do this thing when I was in high school. I think I might have talked about this in podcasts before. I don't know. But like, you'd get a kiwi fruit was the best sort of fruit for this. And you'd put it in a plastic bag.
Oh, no.
And then... just with a real, like, really subtle flick of the wrist, that thing could swing around quite quickly. And you got extremely good at being able to do this to someone when they were coming around a corner. They'd come around the corner and you'd flick it and they'd just go down. And it got so bad that it was every single fucking day it would happen to you or somebody else. Like, it was just this game.
Mm.
And it got so bad that our deputy principal had to get up in assembly and say the words. It was so great. He was like, it has come to my attention that there is a craze that is currently sweeping some boys in the school. I believe it is referred to as sack whacking. And then he lost the room forever. That was it. He retired on the spot.
Were you part of this band of criminals, Ben?
Oh, because I did it.
Right.
And I think
he had it done to you, presumably.
Yeah. And it's bad. It's a bad, bad thing. It's a bad, 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 bad thing.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't take the step of just banning kiwi fruits? I guess you ban kiwi fruits and people move on to oranges, I guess, or grapefruits.
Yeah, it's a bit like the gun control thing. I'm not going to do that. Let's do one more, Bish.
Well, this is from the shows of Australia, St. Kilda.
Hey.
Hello,
St. Kilda.
Pin-up novelty, 1950s house cleaning. Preened and cleaned with a pin-up doll smile. Have your very own 1950s pinup girl to come clean your home, dressed in petticoats and an apron primped to perfection. Pinup House Cleaning provides domestic cleaning services that are a fun novelty for the family. Even cook and bake. Rates start at $50 an hour basic cleaning, $75 an hour for rigorous cleaning that might break a nail or two.
Ooh.
So is this a person wanting this or is this a person offering this?
Offering this,
right,
mm-hmm.
I think. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Please note, this is not a sexual service. 1950s ladies are ladylike.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Very conservative.
Because ladies don't like sex.
Yeah.
How could they possibly?
All cleaners are monitored closely by head office and ID and cash up front / PayPal before service is provided.
Okay. Now, I understand that if you're a cleaner, you need a point of difference, right? I think that's what this is. Like, I think this is like, there are a bunch of cleaners on Gumtree. I'm gonna have this point of difference.
Like a fancy dress cleaning service.
Now, I already have that kind of middle class guilt about cleaners. Like, I've never had one, except for when I was a kid. Oh, that's bad.
My goodness.
But you know what I mean? And even then, I was like, this feels weird. And I would never, like, that would be one of the main obstacles to getting a cleaner. I'd have that kind of weird thing. If I had to be like, oh, by the way, also, when you come, can you dress up like a 1950s housewife for me? That would make me feel like horseshit. And I'm not saying that I'm an amazing person for that. I think this would be majority of people.
I don't know, but people want to do this. People want to send you shot glasses in the mail.
Yeah.
And I'm keep fucking it up. Right. Like,
isn't it also like, okay, if you're a flip it though. If you're a cleaner and you're into like sort of rockabilly styles,
yeah,
you could be like, hey, you know what? I quite like dressing up like a 1950s pinup person.
Yeah.
I'm happy to, you know, this actually makes my job more fun.
That's true.
You know, although I guess then you don't really need to advertise, or maybe you do need to advertise. I don't know.
Yeah, just because you find your job fun, you probably need to advertise it.
No, I mean, like, you don't need to advertise
it. I mean, if you just want a regular cleaner and someone comes all dressed up.
Like a pinup model. Yeah. Would that be weird?
I would find that weird.
Why would it be off-putting?
Because I would have thought that I had, like, I think there is a good reason that she has put in this ad, oh, by the way, so for the avoidance of doubt, this is not a sex thing.
Right.
Because if I'd hired a cleaner and then someone came dressed up as, like, fucking Betty Boop, clean my house, I'd be like, oh no, I didn't read it well enough. This is going to be terrible. Like,
yeah.
I want my house clean. And then this like person who was like actually a sex worker is going to have to clean my house.
Now, how? Right, I see. So they've come thinking they're going to give you an erotic massage.
Yeah. And I'm like,
just the dusting, clean. Please.
Yeah. Floors.
Although I will say and I don't know how crass this is, but.
Did you say crass?
Yeah.
It's crass.
Is it crass?
Oh, don't look at me.
It's crass.
I didn't go up here.
I don't know how crass it is.
I say crass.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because that's the word, Bish. Because that's the word.
I don't know how crass this is, but I am worried that when this person says this is not a sex thing, they are not entirely in charge of that decision.
Whoa, what?
So what I mean is, right, you turn up and you're like, hey, it's not a sex thing. But the guy, the creepy dude who hires this thing, still looks at you and then goes and does a wank in the bedroom, or whatever. And
all right. So when you're saying this is sorry, yeah, that was that, I thought that was heading to a very, very bad place.
When you say
this isn't a, what you mean is she's not in control of whether or not somebody finds this an erotic service.
Exactly.
Or not.
Sorry, that's what I should have said it that way. I'm sorry. Yeah. So what I mean is,
but that's true of fucking everything. Like, have you ever gotten on a bus? That's somebody's thing. Like, honestly, that is somebody's thing. But like, you've gotten on that bus and someone's been in the front being like, get on that fucking bus. Like, and you can't control that. You can't.
Yeah, but
you can't go through life wanting people to not be secretly wanking to you.
Yeah, are you pinup girl shaming?
I'm not. What I'm saying is that there are the unfortunate. I'm agreeing with you, Ben. What I'm saying is it is an unfortunate reality of the world we live in. Well, it's definitely unfortunate.
Yeah,
that you can't control when people wank over you, and you never will be able to.
Yeah,
and you can't. And I've tried. I've tried.
I think that's John Locke. Is what you just...
So you have no interest in hiring this pinup service, Ben?
No, but that's like, I've just got such weird middle class guilt about everything. So like, that's my problem.
But you wouldn't have
That's my bad thing.
Yeah. Bish, would you have any interest in...
That was John Locke.
That was John Locke.
Do you have any interest in hiring a pinup? Are they offering pinup men and women, or when they say men and women,
no,
it's
just ladies.
Pinup ladies, but for men and women.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yes, yeah.
Yep. But you have no interest in hiring a pinup model to clean your house?
No.
No.
No, I think so.
Is it? What is the politics of hiring a cleaner? Because in the Hing family, and I think this is kind of common of a lot of Asian Australian families, Chinese Australian families. it's often the grandparents' job to what? Come and do that.
What? Well, mm.
Yeah, so that's a thing that happens.
Really?
But they've lived through enough.
Yeah, but I think
so they know how to clean stuff really well. They know how to get everything out of everything.
So there is a familial cultural pride, I think. And I don't want to speak for everybody in sure. this group, but certainly...
There is a quiet dignity to cleaning your grandchild's toilet.
So what will happen is, and a lot of like my parents' friends and stuff do this, it's like when you are kind of retirement age and things, you want to spend time with the grandkids. And so, but you don't want to seem as though you're like all getting involved in like a picky kind of, you know, in a kind of like... helicopter grandparenting type
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you say, oh, well, I can come over and I'll vacuum the house while I'm over. And then that's the kind of trade-off. And then you get to play with the grandkids and stuff. You do a bit of chores. And that's the sort of... It's a weird foxtrot of a dance.
How much do you rate yourself that you think that your grandparents are willing to clean in order to see you?
From my own personal experience, they were very willing to do that. And I also know that my parents have expressed this too, and the trait. Maybe it's just my weird family now.
Do you know? Because I'm struggling to.
Yeah, I would be sent to my grandmother's house to clean for her and to like hang out with her. Like,
yeah, the idea
the
like
opposite. Oh no! A hing child does not do chores.
Okay. I've always had those are piano playing hands. I am like I have a like. Just, the reason this spins me out so much is because I don't know if I said this, but recently, a while ago,
you met my grandparents and they hate me.
Yeah, I was hanging out with them and they were like, "Fuck that kid." No, I remember once like saying because like, my grandmother lives alone and I just started playing bridge with some friends and I knew that she played bridge really like a lot and I was like, maybe I'll just call her up and see if she wants to play bridge. Like it's a four player game, but she has a club and I could go to the club and play with her. And I was like, she's lonely. Like, I assumed. And I called her up and I was like, yeah, what are you? I've just started playing bridge. How cool is that? Do you want to play bridge? And she was like, no. I'm very good. yeah, totally dissed.
Get your own friends.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Did you like oversell it as though like you just learned to play bridge and you're a fucking amateur? She doesn't want you ruining her team score.
That's exactly what it was.
Right, okay. She's like, yeah, you're not coming embarrassing me. You're not coming to my court.
Yeah.
And you're gonna goof off in front of my friend.
She's like, oh yeah, so. No, I guess you have been playing it for a week and between you play it for a week and me playing it for 60 fucking years. Yeah, I think we'd be a pretty good team. Yeah, that'd be really good. Real fucking Turner and Hooch. Yeah. In that it would be like playing bridge with a dog. And then she hung up on me.
It was Turner and Hooch, a movie where there was a dog policeman.
Yes.
Yeah. Very
yeah. It was. Yeah, she plays the win. Oh, man.
All right. Well, I think that's kind of probably the time we have for this week's episode. So let's do a round of plugs, shall we?
Yeah.
Benjamin, what do you have coming up?
Oh, we've got a bunch coming up. Mm. Yeah.
You gonna give me details?
No, we have a bunch. We have a very exciting thing coming up, which is on the first Wednesday of July.
This is the Wednesday, yeah, Wednesday the 1st of July, which is also the first Wednesday in July.
Yeah, well, it's synergy in that way. And it's a brand new show that we're doing at the Giant Dwarf Theatre called Dragon Friends. And
I heard about that.
Yeah.
That's super fun.
It'll be really fun. It's a live D&D comedy show.
Mm. It features former guests on the show, Ben Jenkins and Michael Hing.
Yep. Alex Lee, Simon Griner, David Harmon. David Harmon is the Dungeon Master.
We should be clear, because some people were confused. David Harmon is not Dan Harmon, who created Community.
Because, no, seriously, Bish, we looked at the Facebook and someone was like, it was weird, like names we didn't recognize. I'm like, I've already bought tickets. This is going to be great. And then somebody was like, oh my God, yeah, I know, I love Harmontown. And we were like, why did you think he was doing this? So that's going to be cool. But it's going to be super fun. Knowledge of D&D is not required.
Because we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
I can't believe that neither of you have ever...
What
did
you say?
Bish, did you play D&D?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
totally. Well, Bish will be a future guest on Dragon Friends.
Yeah, unless this is like the grandmother thing all over again. She's like, get your own fucking tickets.
Yeah, I don't need you guys fucking up my XP.
So that's going to be really fun, and you can get tickets on the Giant Dwarf website.
Excellent. Hey, Bish, do you want to tell people about where people can see you? Is there a wolf comedy coming up soon?
Yes, there is. We have a... gig on next week, so, Thursday, the 26th of June, I think.
25th, I think.
Sorry, yeah, 25th.
And where is it?
At Knox Street Bar.
That's a great pub.
It's so lovely.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've done this really gig I've done this gig once and been a couple of times. It is a great gig. It's packed.
There's a cocktail wheel there too.
Yes.
Where if you can't decide what you want, there's a chocolate wheel, like, you know, one of those wheels that spins, and you spin the wheel and you get whatever it lands on.
Is that?
And you pay for
not
it, obviously.
For free.
Interesting.
And one of them is poo.
Hey, who is on this next lineup?
We have Becky Lucas headlining.
Former guest on the show.
Yeah. I'm very excited about that. Sam Campbell. Yeah,
former guest on the show.
Oh, well. Great. Paige Halley.
We haven't.
She's very good.
She's, yeah, very, very funny. That's great.
Yeah.
Cool. And this happens once a month on a Thursday night.
The last Thursday of every month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, let's just remind everyone again, we said it at the start of the show, but on the 16th of July, which is about 3 or 4 weeks away, we're going to be doing a live Freedom of Good Home at the Giant Dwarf Theatre. So get tickets to that. We've got some guests. We'll announce it on Facebook by the time you hear this.
Yep.
And
We can't give too much away, but let's just say Bono is the guest.
Do you think people would buy tickets for that or not buy tickets for that? If they legitimately thought that you had got Bono,
yep.
Do you think people would come or do you think like, ah, oh,
I think they'd come because I think it would be a fucking train wreck. I can't think of anyone less suited to this format than Bono. Maybe The Edge.
Right. Do you think his like unrelenting earnestness
would get
in the way of our unremitting bullshit?
I think that's like unstoppable force, immovable object stuff. Yeah.
Well, that is all the time we have for this week's show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Abish for being our guest this week.
Yeah, and thank you for everyone who's been writing in and sending in these great classifieds. Please keep them coming. And you too can have your name mangled by us.
Oh, yeah, we should give our contact details. You can find us an email at contact@freetogoodhomepodcast.com, facebook.com/freetogoodhomepodcast, and at FTAGHpod on Twitter. And that's all the time we have for this week. We'll see you next time. Bye! If you like piña coladas,
hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.